All right, that's it. Bing bong, belly bong. It is 8 a.m. here at Redwood Community Radio. Those are the waybacks, by the way. I'm sorry I missed the scrapple from the apple. I was out putting up the bounce house with Lauren. All right, it's the time for the rebroadcast of last night's local news here on Your Voice in the Redwoods, KMUD Garberville, 91.1 on your FM dial, KMU Eureka, 88.1 FM, KLAI Laytonville, 90.3 FM, in Shelter Cove, 99.5, and everywhere worldwide at KMUD.org. I'm jealous of all you people who got to hear Scrapple from the Apple. All right, see y'all. I guess I'm Jazz Man Sunday night, because I thought I was last week, but Katie Jazz Lady was here. So I'm jazzing it up. Let's get this going here. What's going on?
Good morning and welcome to the local news. Today is Saturday, May 20th. I'm Lauren Schmidt reporting for KMUD. In replacement of last night's local news, we aired the fourth installment of Let's Talk Tourism, a panel discussion with Humboldt County officials and community representatives. For this morning's rebroadcast, we share the middle portion of the discussion with Humboldt County Planning and Building Director John Ford, Public Works Director Tom Mattson, and Supervisor Michelle Bushnell. Stay tuned. Before the Let's Talk Tourism panel discussion turned to county heads, approximately 20 community representatives shared updates from their institutions. Like Soham Health, the Vocality Community Credit Union, Redwoods Rural Health Center, the Community Park, the Bureau of Land Management, the Humboldt Workforce Coalition, and more. But one community representative triggered the conversation with county officials.
Hi, my name is Johnny Casale. I'm with Huckleberry Hill Farms. Rose and I are the two sole people that run that farm there, and we have one of the three tourism licenses in the county of Humboldt. And we are just full of joy to be able to give tourists an understanding of what the Emerald Triangle is all about and who we are as a culture and what we've been through for the last 40 years. But really, you know, I know most people know of our farm. Most people have heard everything that we've been talking about up here. But really, Mike, I know these people have come all the way down here to help solve some problems that we have. And so I just wanted to hit it off and really address a few things, maybe give them some time to think about some of the problems that I have and I think the rest of the community has. And I guess really, as a tourism farm, one of my biggest concerns is the safety of the people that are actually getting to my farm. And Bryceland Thorn Road is a disaster. It is dangerous, and I wouldn't suggest that John Ford drive that motorcycle on that road because it is dangerous.
Yeah.
But so how do we fix that? What's the solution? Maybe Tom has some ideas. I know his crew was out there throwing some gravel in the potholes the other day. But I think the problem is all the ditches are filled up to the road level. So when it rains, the base of that roadway is like mush. The road is taking a beating. The state park, you can't touch that, but there's redwood, 4-inch redwood branches that are leaning into the road. That road is dangerous. Where the road is slid away from this winter, there's brush. You can't even see who's coming around the corner. Nobody's taken the time or the care to clean that. So what I'm suggesting is maybe you hire and inject some money back into this community and hire some of these local heavy equipment operators to take care of our own roadway. Come up with a fee that possibly can, that works in your budget. You don't have the personnel to take care of this huge county we have, so hire them. Alder Point has heavy equipment operators. Whitethorn does. All the different areas in this county do. Maybe we can hire them and they can be responsible for taking care of it, and then you can just go and examine their work. Secondly, I want to address the issue of PG&E and what disaster they did up above my road on the sensitive watershed, and they're doing in this whole county. I know that that group of people that were there, there have been eliminated, and now there's a whole other group of people in here. This is the second time in over a year that I've had PG&E people climb my gate and walk on my property. After the incident that happened in Trinity County with that dog, I'm disgusted, and I really want you to comment on that. I know the DCC and Department of Fish and Wildlife has denounced what has happened, and I want your word that that will never happen to a cannabis farm here in Humboldt County, because all you have to do is call us up and we'll walk to the gate and open that. So I want that promise from you if you can do that. But I think, Michelle, you're the one that maybe is in charge, or the supervisor is in charge of PG&E. So who's overseeing PG&E, getting all those colorful stripes, flags, plastic that are riddled in the trees? My property looks like a rainbow with all the paint, different colored paint, and I just don't want them climbing over my fence again. And I have it on recording if somebody's not believing me. I'll share that with you. So thank you very much.
Supervisor Bushnell, if you want to, whichever of your panelists you want to start with, and we can get updates and hear some new ideas and see where we're at from December.
Okay.
And then maybe answer some questions. I know some of the audience representatives. Oh, and then one other thing, if you do have some questions for our panelists or audience representatives, the little pink cards, please fill out your question on that and then bring it up here so we can get that asked to our panelists.
So, thank you, everyone. I'm Michelle Bushnell. I live in Blacksburg and became the supervisor 2 years and 5 months ago. And I guess I'm going to start, I probably will start with Director Matheson and Johnny's thoughts are lots of people's thoughts. And I do want to recognize that we had an astronomical winter, and a lot of things happened because of the winter, not making excuses, but it was terrible, and the roads are suffering from it. I know, Johnny, you're looking at me like, don't make excuses. I'm not. I'm telling the truth. The roads are in terrible shape. And so what I would like for is Director Ford to update us on that and how things are going to, Director Matheson, I'm sorry, John, how things are going to look for our roads this summer.
Thank you. Tom Matheson, Director of Public Works. I'll jump right to the points. The storm damage that happened this year, we'll be sitting out there for a couple of years as we go through the process to get the funding lined up. The county does not have funding on hand to do these kinds of repairs. We do have a $4 million project out on Bryceland Thorn Road this year from the 2019 storm damage. We've got about $10 million going on Alder Point Road this year for the 2017 and 2019 storm damage. The safety of the road is important to us, and if there's a visibility issue, please send me a picture of that, because I will get somebody to cut that. We did get approval from our Measure Z committee for a new brush cutting crew that we're also leveraging for fire safety. In fact, if you looked at the $6.2 million grant the RID just got, a big portion of the match on that is my brush cutting crew starting on the roadside, and all the money going from there on the private property to create the fire breaks along the county, southern Humboldt County roads. As for basic road maintenance, that's been a problem for years. I have used local contractors a lot. We use Wilcox Brothers a lot. We use Van Meter a lot. But we don't have the money to write checks for them right now. We are going through right now looking at doing some polling. You may be getting some calls in the next couple of months about a future road tax just for road maintenance. As to what can do, you know, where we are successful or where we leverage. We've been very successful with the RID and Shelter Cove over the last few years, leveraging a lot of funds for road safety. If you have something to offer that we can leverage, what we really need, if you know, for disposal sites for all the material that we dig out, we have to haul that a long ways to permitted disposal sites. If you have local property that's near the ditches that need to be cleaned, and it's legal for us to put the dirt on your property, we would love that kind of cooperation. But it's really about leveraging each other, leveraging with each other, and helping each other out. The Garberville project, the Complete Streets project, that was something that we got shovel ready just looking for funding, because we knew downtown Garberville needed an upgrade. And you know, the letters that we get, You know, we did not get the federal earmarks yet. We aren't quitting, but there is a state earmark process. I'm glad you turned in letters, because that one has not been closed off for us as of yet this year. And we are looking at all of the federal grants that are out there to see if we can bring them in to do that project. You know, you're the only project, shovel-ready project I have on my shelf right now. It's the top project for the county if I can find funding for it, other than all of our storm damage projects. So I don't know what else to tell you then. The crew does an exceptional job with what they have available to do them. As we get additional money, especially if it's one-time money, we hire local contractors to help us out. But if it's like a storm damage or a reimbursement project, I have to follow the exact procedures laid down for FEMA or federal highways. Otherwise, they don't reimburse me. And right now, I'm $10 million in the hole with $11.5 million in receivables from FEMA. So I'm operating in the red and running up interest rates. So I know it's not great news, but I've never said great things about the ability of the county to do road maintenance. We've always run behind. We're a rural county with a lot of roads, and the money goes to the big urban areas. They don't understand that their food comes from the rural areas. The aggregate comes from rural California, the timber to build their houses. And that requires a lot of roads with very few people, and the funds are weighted on the number of people. So yeah, the roads in Orange County are in great shape because there's a million people there, and they've got 800 miles of county roads. Well, we have 1,207 and 132,000 people. And so what I get is about $60 per lane mile. Everything else that I get is related to the number of registered vehicles. And so we, as Humboldt County, we need to do what Humboldt County always does. We need to help ourselves. And we're going to be going through and doing some polling and asking you to do that in the future so that we can have better roads and we can have that money to match the grants that we need. So I don't know if that answers all your questions. I think you had something about PG&E. Was that for me?
No.
Because I know we had to give them a cease and desist order on the county roads.
Yeah. So Director Mattson, these roads that Mr. Casale is talking about, there's not even a full lane left. So this is a public safety hazard. So what, you know, there's been the drop-off, refill with gravel over the last couple of years. There's not even a full lane left.
So I'm going to interrupt really quick, because anybody that's been out on the White Thorn Road, there was two full lanes until this last winter. So currently, there are three areas that are really pretty bad. Which I have talked to Tom about. Two of them are down to one lane. One of them is kind of capped over with some gravel. My question to Tom, and I've asked Denton, who is the supervisor down here, is with now that the winter's kind of passed and the water and moisture are coming out of the grounds, do we anticipate, because it is going to be a wait for the FEMA money to come in for those areas. Two of those areas, Johnny, where you're talking about, weren't caused by the PG&E. Those were areas that were already identified 4 years ago as slip-outs and were paved over. As you guys all know, we had a huge amount of drought over the last 4 years and no water load. The new water brought in a lot of stuff. Thankful for the water, but it created havoc on our county roads. So the ditches, yes, need to be pulled. And I talked to Denton about that, and also Tom, which is on their schedule. The two portions up from Huckleberry Hill that are one lane now, and they're not very easy. It's not a great scenario. Tom, can you update us on what you think? Will that continue forward until the money comes, or do you anticipate as the water comes out of that ground and it stabilizes that you guys will open that back up into two lanes?
We will try to open it up with road maintenance into two lanes as soon as we can. That's little work that we can do. We just can't do the permanent repair without going through the FEMA process.
And so the same scenario is happening in the east on the Alder Point Road. We have several areas over there that are one lane, down to one lane, and they are trying to patch pave to try to get that open. I anticipate from what Tom said, and I had this conversation with him in Denton a couple weeks ago, that as soon as the water stopped, that then we could try to pave over that. It is a patch job, it's not a permanent fix job, but it will alleviate the one lane that is a little, it's not fun coming up onto those one lanes. So I think that addressed the question that Johnny had. The PG&E I wanna address at the end, And I know that people in the audience will have more questions for Director Mattson, so I think we'll go to the next, which would be Director Ford. Sorry.
So other than PG&E, I didn't hear any direct questions for me, but I do want to update you on a couple of things that are going on. One is at the Planning Commission last night, the event center down at County Line Ranch was approved. So that'll allow four events to occur there each year. So as I was listening to somebody say they wanted to advertise events, there are some events that have been approved, which is, I think, a really, really good thing. And it was received very well. It was a very positive meeting. There was really not too much opposition to that, so that was good. I think the other thing that we've been working on is the short-term rental ordinance, and that is getting ready to go out onto the street for public review. We're going to start setting up stakeholder meetings with realtors and people who manage short-term rentals, people who are doing that currently, even though it's not legal right now, and also other people who are just interested. There's a lot of neighborhood groups that are concerned about that. We do expect to see that start into the public hearing process late summer. Then the other thing relative to cannabis is we are on a track this year to inspect all 1,200 approved sites. And so you're probably hearing from us right now, or starting to, about coming out and visiting. We are sending out letters about 3 weeks in advance of coming out, just so everybody knows we're coming. And we're coming to make sure the site plan and the way the site's developed look the same, and that the conditions are being worked on to be complied with. I do, I started to say it, so I'm gonna say it. I'm just wondering if I should. One of the things we're struggling with is of the 1,200 approved sites, over 300 of those are not current on their bills. And so we are going to be sending out a letter notifying people that they are obligated under the ordinance to be current on their payments. And if they're not current on their payments, that will show up in the annual inspection. So I just want to put that out there. I don't want that to be too much of a shock. We're trying to be very delicate with the language that we're using to notify people of that, because we want people to have plenty of notice and the ability to really come current and to get their deposit in place so that we can get all the inspections done. We do think that it's important. I really do think it's important, I'll say this personally, to inspect every single site this year. And so we are actively working on that. And other than that, I'd be happy to answer any questions when the time comes.
Thank you, Director Ford. So I did want to introduce Supervisor Rex Bone, who's in the back room, and he borders my district, which is our district on the Avenue of the Giants and out in out Edersburg. And so he has an interest in the Southern Humboldt area and is a good advocate as well, as far as Supervisor goes. So Supervisor Bone in the back. And we'll just go down the line. So Sheriff Hunsel.
Thank you, Michelle. It's a pleasure to be here, and I love the sunshine, love the heat. So thank you for that. They can't hear me? Okay, I'm sorry. Gotta get real close. Everyone hear me now? Okay. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here. As you all know, Michelle, your supervisor, keeps me pretty well informed of everything going on in Southern Humboldt. And so if there's ever any questions that you don't feel comfortable addressing it directly with me or my staff, you know you can go and have an advocate through Michelle. And that message gets there unfiltered and straight up. So I know that's hard to believe. So anyway, just so you know, you have a great advocate. Public safety continues to be a number one priority for a lot of people throughout Humboldt County. That is on everyone's mind. And though we see our crime rates dropping in the hills because we do have less illegal farms out in the hills, there's still public safety issues that we're dealing with. And so I just want you to all know that we are committed to working alongside of you. We have two deputies that are here most of the time. I can't say all the time because there's times when higher priorities and other crimes or staffing draws those deputies away to the greater Eureka area. But we tend to have two deputies here all the time. We have our substation open. And you all know Melanie, and she's a great person, a great advocate as well. And so if you have any needs or public safety issues, go to the substation, and you can always talk to our deputies or talk to Melanie. And we want to partner with you on all of those things that matter. Neighborhood Watch is something that we want to promote, and we also have Business Watch that we want to make sure that people are aware of. All that information is on our website. We also want to provide enough public information for people to really get that information out. Because the tourists, you know, they see Murder Mountain and they go, oh my gosh, is that really what Humboldt County is like? And we say, no, it's not. It's really not. If you want to look at our stats, please look at our stats. And we have real-time crime mapping a part of our website. And you can show people that we do not have the level of crime that some of the people, you know, say on the internet or, you know, in the docuseries. So you can point to that and you can say, here's our stats, and just reassure people. We are a phone call away. If you have any issues, we want you to call us. We just recently remodeled our jail, and our jail is going to be fully operational. So we will be accepting a lot more people than we have throughout the pandemic. We don't have to have quarantine. We have ADA units, and we also specialize in mental health for people that are incarcerated, pre-custody, pre-sentencing, as well as sentenced inmates. So we want to get people better when they go to jail, and so that is something that we do offer, and I just want everyone to assure that if you call us and someone does get arrested, it may be the best for them at that time. And so we have about 417 beds right now. There's 250 that are occupied, and so it's something that we are definitely working on. Connie Beck and Mental Health and Social Services are partnering with us in our facility, and we make sure that that everyone gets everything that they need while they are in custody. There was a question from John about what happened in Trinity County. What happened in Trinity County was horrible. And I know the sheriff, Tim Saxon, is an ethical, trustworthy sheriff. And so I want everyone to be assured. I've talked to him this last week. He is doing a full investigation, just like we do in every time there's an officer-involved shooting. So there will be accountability. There will be public statements. There will be some things that come out of this. I urge people to be patient until all the facts are in, and that the sheriff is able to do the investigation and to provide those statements and that accountability to the public. It means everything to us. And I think, as you know, over the last several years of us being really pro-enforcement with the illegal cannabis here in our county, we have very few incidents where people actually call and complain, because we respect people. We want to do what's best for our community. And sometimes that includes walking away from cannabis grows that may be in that gray area. And so whenever we do a search warrant, to answer John's question, we have lots of contingencies that come in play. When we know that there's animals in play that could be vicious, or we have to have contingencies there. Oftentimes that contingency is talking to the owner and say, I need you to lock up your animal. Okay, that is something we want to be clear and concise. And we make that plan known to all of our partners, because we don't do this alone. We have a lot of partners that go with us on our search warrants. So whether it's CDFW, whether it's Cal Fire, whether it's any one of our regulatory agencies that come armed, we make sure that the rules of engagement are clear, our policy is adhered to, because we are taking responsibility for everyone we bring on our search warrant. And we don't want to erode that public trust that we've developed. And so that is something that we continue to work on. We want to make sure that does, those kind of policies, are here too throughout all of our search warrants. We are working on another thing too, is a potential in the real future, is a smartphone app to provide to all of our tourists regarding all the services that are offered here in the county, and public alerts and public notifications, for any emergencies or anything that that they would like to know about. And so that is something that we, I think, would be valuable, that we print the material to hand out and have it all the hotels, all the tourist places, so they understand when we talk about crime. We understand when we talk about reporting crime or where to go, what to do, and making sure that they understand our advice to people when we say, hey, listen, when you go to the beach, do not leave anything in your car because it will get stolen. So, you know, it's all lessons that we all know, but we want to make sure that people are fully aware because we don't want people to be taken advantage of when they come here and visit, because one bad Yelp review, one bad post on Facebook can deteriorate those next people from coming up here. We want to make sure that the welcome mat is open and people are open and that they understand exactly what Humboldt County offers, because there's so many great things here, and we want to definitely promote that. Foot patrol is going to be seen more now that the sun's out and that things are happening, and so you're going to see foot patrol more. And again, we're working with our MIST program to deal with some of the mental health and homeless issues throughout Garberville and Redway. It's something that is going to be continuously worked on, and we want to make sure that everyone is aware of that. We want, again, people to call. If you see something that is going awry, there's a crime in progress, don't just think someone else is calling. Please call us. We've gotten so used to just people acting out and causing a disturbance that oftentimes people don't even call anymore because it's a part of the landscape. But that deters people from stopping at your businesses. So if someone is causing disturbance, blocking an entrance, please call us. If we have people available, we will come. CHP is a great partner, and we're lucky to have a station here, and they do back us up. They do take primary a lot of times on these cases. So if we're not available, we can contact them or one of our other public safety partners. And so I'm here for answering questions. I'm here afterwards as well. If you want to pull me aside, you have some criticism, you have some comments, I'm more than happy to talk to you about it. And I just really appreciate being here. Thank you.
I just wanted to thanks. We have a lieutenant down right here, right? That comes down about once a week, Sheriff Ponce?
We do have a sergeant. We have four sergeants that do come down here. The mandate is at least once or twice a month they're supposed to be down here. We do have a lieutenant that does come to the meetings down here and does check in, mm-hmm. and from time to time, yes.
Yeah, so you guys know a Lieutenant Taylor who used to be down, stationed down here, and he comes through. We see him floating through often. He really loves the community down here, and I speak with him regularly and through Billy as well, or Sheriff Fonsel, sorry. And he's a great advocate for the Southern Humboldt area as well. And I think, yeah, Laura had something.
Sheriff Fonsel, could you, since we're broadcast live on KMUD, could you let everyone know why it is so important to make those calls when you get those stats, when those calls are logged in, when you're looking at staffing, why it's important for the community to call in when there's an issue?
Laura, that's a great question. Thank you. When we look at our priority on our staffing, so we go where the calls for service are. So if there's no calls for service in Southern Humboldt, when we look at reallocating resources, sometimes we may put those resources elsewhere. And when you talk about tough budget times, which is what we're going to experience over the next couple of years, we're going to look at putting resources where they're needed the most. And so that's really a reason why we need to have and hear from you. Also, it builds a case. So when you talk about an individual or a residence, if we're just coming out there for, you know, one time, sometimes we can give a break to someone because that's what we do. We want to take care of the problem. Sometimes someone deserves a break. But if we're there 3-4 times and the problem isn't being taken care of, we have to take enforcement action. There's no other option. So we encourage you to call, because when you say to us, hey, listen, this has been bothering me for 3 weeks, you know, but this is the first time I've called, we're going to give some person maybe a benefit of the doubt. Unless you're a victim of a crime, then if you're a victim of a crime, someone steals against you, someone punches you or assaults you, we need you to be a victim, and we need for you to advocate for yourself and want to press charges. Because when it's a misdemeanor outside of our presence, we need you to press charges, what we call a citizen's arrest, in order for us to take enforcement action. So it's important that you go on record and say, yes, I want to be, you know, a victim of a crime, and I want to press charges. It's difficult because they say, oh, I got to go to court. Yeah, this guy's going to have to go to jail. Yes, it is difficult, but sometimes that's the only thing you can do, again, to help someone in that circumstance.
And then help your other neighbor, because there may be someone that's maybe more vulnerable that doesn't want to press charges. So if you're willing to step up and you're willing to be that strong person and say, I will press charges, then you also are protecting your community as well. So thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
That's off